right. Shall we get started?
Welcome!
Okay, recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, cool.
We're live.
Awesome. Want to count us in?
Okay, this time we're going to do a top 10 players. No, top 5 players in the third round, according to our draft analysis. Top 3 players of the third round. In reverse order. Nah, that's stupid.
No, that's stupid. Oh, yeah, I'll just get us started. Welcome to another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast.
Woo!
A podcast about a league you're not in and with people you don't know. But the people you do know are me, Alex, the host of this podcast, a.k.a. also named Yellow Swag. And joining me as well in the studio live.
Again, live.
So much recording in such a little time, Dylan.
Dylan, yes, that's me.
Dylan, the spreadsheet Charlton, the laundry man, the...
Seventh place darling.
Seventh place darlings. And we're back to you with another episode of our draft prep. What are we going to talk about today, Dylan?
Draft prep. Yeah, draft prep. We've got some more information for you. We didn't get to our Sleeping Beauties last episode, so we're definitely going to talk about those. And then it's, I guess it's just goalies.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of goalie talk.
Goalies.
Dylan, I'd say it's the singular most important position of any hockey team.
I once watched a team play without a goalie in like the last few minutes of a game, and they lost.
Ah.
They got scored on.
I mean, it's the backbone of any fantasy hockey team is going to be their goalie and their goalie stats. It's really hard to overcome not having good goalies because you're essentially just throwing away
points,
points and stats. And it's tough. I mean,
an entire position.
And as an example, last year we had who was it that had
Nick Prime?
Nick Prime had Anton Vasilevskiy and Pekka Rinne both on his team, and pretty
Anton?
Much
Anton.
What is it, Andre? Andre Vasilevskiy and
Pekka Rinne
from week 5 led the league.
Yeah.
Didn't win the league.
Didn't win.
Vasilevskiy got tired.
Yeah, he got tired at the end of the year. Yeah.
Rinne had a couple human games, but here we are. We're going to be talking about goalies a lot.
The reason that Nick kind of took the league for most of the regular season was because we tracked way too many goalie stats in our league. Last year, I think we did goals against.
Shutouts?
We did shutouts, we did save percentage, and we did wins.
It's four out of a possible, 12?
Four out of 12 categories were goalie stats. And so we had a bit of a intervention this summer, and we decided to, I think we cut one. So we've changed it to save percentage, shutouts, and... what was the last one? I don't even remember. We had this massive debate in our league.
Shutouts?
I said that one already.
Wasn't there there was a straw poll about it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We'll probably find out later when our entire league roasts us for not remembering
it's true.
This argument that we brought up earlier.
If you are interested, we do have a link to our Yahoo League, and that you can find that on our website, along with all the other links to all of our other social media and forms of contact. Our website is thestlouisshoes.com.
Not the St. Louis Shoes.
Oh, gosh.
I guess the website is No, it's not even that. It's just stlouisshoes.com.
stlouisshoes.com. You can email us, yolobag@stlouisshoes.com.
Find us on Twitter.
Find us on Twitter at St. Louis Shoes. Everything is named St. Louis Shoes except for, I guess, the podcast. I don't know if we should do something with that. I don't know. Maybe if we were media professionals. But just for people who maybe we have some new listeners, typically this podcast is a recap of our 12 team head-to-head.
It's 14. You said 12 last week.
14 team head-to-head league.
14 teams, yeah. We actually just kicked somebody out.
And
so it was 13
them.
Teams for like 20 minutes, and now it's 14 teams again.
Our 14-team head-to-head category league in which we talk about fantasy stuff, not always, hockey stuff maybe, not always. But it's a great time for us to talk about talk with our friends and also talk about things in the lens of fantasy hockey. So, but back to the serious business of talking about
fantasy hockey draft. Players.
And there's nothing, Dylan, what's the best part about drafting?
Making fun of everyone else's picks.
You're right. Drafting sleepers.
Drafting sleepers. Exactly. Yes.
And there's nothing more satisfying than being like, I predicted this guy and I believed him when nobody else did in the, yes, in big hockey. And you know, for example, last year people were picking up Willen Carlson in like the 13th round.
Thank you.
And here we are. We'll be looking for the next Willen Carlson, the next big sleeper. I don't know. This is our white whale.
I guess the entire Vegas Knights were sleepers last
year. Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. But here we are. Dylan, do you have any sleepers you'd like to share with the team? Except for people in our league. Once again, if you are in our fantasy hockey league, just turn it off, skip to 2 minutes before the end, and then we'll talk to you.
Yeah. So our first sleeping beauty, and he's got a bit of a name now, Nick Bjugstad, in Florida. He had a great second half of the year last year, 27 points in the final 34 games, and he was starting to play with Barkov. Last episode, we were talking about how Hoffman is going to slide in Florida.
Yeah.
He may be playing alongside Nick Bjugstad, so we might see that point streak continue.
Mm-hmm.
If he's next to Barkov, you've got Hoffman on the line. I can see him hitting 60 points next year. So you might be able to pick him up in some of the later rounds. He is a winger too, so you'll know that. Or sorry, he's a left winger, and you'll know that those are definitely hard to come by. So he might go a little bit earlier than you're expecting. So put him on your little favorites list.
I want to highlight a defenseman, Cam Fowler. Last year, he kind of had an injury-prone season. The defenseman for the Anaheim tends to be pretty log-jammed. It's kind of hard. I mean, you have people like Montour break out last season as well. but Cam Fowler had put up a solid 32 points in 67 games. So I think that the Ducks are bound for a little bit of a bounce back. I've struggled to think that they would have an equally bad season as they did last year. Maybe not back to the Cup contenders that people want them to be, I guess, or they want to be. They think
even,
they are.
Yeah. Even in the first, I guess it was like 2 months that he was back, he didn't produce much. And the 32 points that he scored were definitely in the later half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully if he comes into camp healthy, comes into the new year healthy, then I think you can see him get back to his previous point productions.
Yeah, and he also had a malady of injuries. Like, he started off with a lower body injury, and then he had a shoulder injury. So it's hard to get into a rhythm, especially when you're trying to adapt to like all these different parts of your body hurting. So I think Cam Fowler, going into the season healthy, will have a pretty nice bounce back.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, I think all of these sleeping beauties are players that were injured over the last few years. Thomas Hertl, he's again had one of those hip injuries that we keep on talking about, and knee surgery as well. He had career years last year. He had 22 goals and 12 power play points. The San Jose power play was firing on all cylinders last year, and I don't know if you remember in the playoffs, Hertl was like on fire. He had 9 points, 6 goals, and 3 assists, and 3 power play points in the 10 games that they played in the playoffs. He also had 34 shots. So if he takes that same energy into the new year, and he continues to play on that second line with Logan Couture, and on the first power play unit with Couture and Pavelski, and Burns, obviously, then you're going to see him pop in a few more goals. He also has tri-eligibility. Ooh. Eligibility in the Yahoo pools. So
yeah.
I know that that's going to give him a little bit more of a highlight to people. So again, if you see him in the upcoming rounds, maybe take him a round earlier than you might have and see if you can play him as much as you can over the next season.
Right. I also want to talk about defenseman Ryan Pulock from the New York Islanders. Last year, he had a pretty solid year. He had 10 goals in 68 games. He was a rookie last year, but he ended up seeing a second power play unit. So even though the Islanders may not be as strong as a fantasy team from an offensive standpoint, One thing that Barry Trotz does really well is he's a defensive neutral zone expert. So we could see Pulock kind of get more utilization, so more ice time in general for, up from his 18-24 from last year. So especially if, say, Nick Leddy gets all of the heavy lifting on the defensive end, we could probably see him take on the first power play. And I think even though Tavares has left with weapons like Barzal, Lee, and Eberle, all the, Eberle being a potential unrestricted free agent, and we all know how those guys perform. I think we could even see if Pulock can make onto that first power play unit, he could be a pretty good pickup. Maybe not right away in your draft, but maybe later on in the season.
Finally, let's talk about a goalie. Sleeping beauties and goalies are always fun. You might always, like, you never know who's going to have the crazy, like, Keith Kincaid season right. or the Craig Anderson season or the...
And then there's the guy who, like, oh, I dropped the Carey Price in the first round. What am I going to do? Right? Yeah.
So this is another player that's moved teams. Carter Hutton, what are your thoughts on Carter Hutton?
I mean, obviously, he kind of suffers from having the small sample size.
Yeah.
He's also played behind a really good goalie in Pekka Rinne. So, you know, presumably he's...
And Jake Allen in St.
And
Louis.
Jake Allen, who at one point was okay. I don't know, Dylan, what were his stats last year?
So last year he had a .931 save percentage in St. Louis and 209 goals against average. Again, you know how I feel about these stats. They're not always the best... way to value a goalie, but your league might be tracking them, and they're gonna, you know, 931's nothing to shake a stick at. That's actually pretty great. This year he's moving to Buffalo.
Yeah,
Buffalo, which has nowhere near the defense that St. Louis has. Buffalo that now has. Did Siri just go off? Shut up, Siri. They do have Dahlin, obviously. They just got Rasmus Dahlin.
They also picked up Sheary, Berglund, Saboka.
Yeah, so they're trying to fill the holes. But we've seen how this happens. We've seen what happens to Buffalo, right? Yeah. Like, they have an offseason where they're like, you know, we're going to sign Kyle Okposo and he's going to score 50 goals for us. And it doesn't happen. So if Carter Hutton can plug some holes in goal and give them a little bit more... stability than their previous goalies, like
was it like Leonard?
Yeah, Leonard, the metal man, Leonard, Robin Leonard, who gets more angry than he does good as the game goes on. I look to Carter Hutton to have a good season. He's not going to post a .931 save percentage, that's for sure. And his goals against average are probably going to be north of 2.09 like it was this last year. But he's going to get played a lot. He's got the number one position, and you're probably going to see 60 games out of him.
Yeah.
And even if his numbers slouch a bit to his averages, his career averages, which is closer to like a .918 or a .915 save percentage, and his goals against average is a lot closer to a 2.2 goals against, he still might be a really good pickup later on in the draft.
Right. Dylan, you kind of spouted off a bunch of stats, but before we kind of start talking about the actual goalies themselves, people have definitely taken a more analytical approach to how people look at hockey players in general. People are trying to do the Moneyball thing a lot. And how do you think, what are some advanced stats that you think people should look at when it comes to evaluating goalies?
Well, I think the thing with goalies is that it's hard to compare goalies to other goalies because there's only one of them on the ice at a time.
Right.
Right. You can't just say, like, which of my goalies is playing better this game?
Right.
I'm going to play that one more. Mm-hmm. Right. So what you need to do is you need to compare it against the league.
It's tough when all the teams are different and have different skill levels. And, you know, some teams score more.
So, correct. So some teams score more. There's defense. There's all these other players. How do you do it? There's a great website out there. You've probably heard of it. It's CorsicaHockey.com. They have an entire section on goalie stats and advanced goalie stats. And I thought I would just take a minute to explain some of these stats because the website itself just lists these acronyms like SV percentage, which is save percentage, obviously. But then what is XSV percentage? What is DSV percentage and what is LDSV percentage. And then what's my favorite, which is GSAA. Let's talk about these. So let's start with GSAA. GSAA stands for goals saved above average. If you're familiar with the WAR statistic, wins above replacement in baseball, which sort of compares players against replacement that might
play like the average position. Player at their position.
Player at the position, yeah. This statistic does exactly that. It looks at goals against and compares it against the league average. So the formula is actually pretty simple. It's shots against times one minus the league's average save percentage. So last year that was a 9.913, and then there's a bunch of extra numbers. Apparently it's really important to go to like the 10th decimal place so that you can get very accurate readings. And then minus goals allowed by that goalie. So as an example, let's just pull out two goalies that may be conversation worthy. Antti Raanta last year, he didn't play that much, but when he did, he was phenomenal. So if you do the equation, if we say his shots against, which was 1,388 shots, and we times that by one minus the league average save percentage, which turns out to be 0.088, and then some extra numbers, and then minus the goals against, which was 97, we come out with the number 25.1. So what does that mean, 25.1? Well, you can read that one number, and you can say that Antti Raanta saved 25 goals more last season than an average goalie would have.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so in one number, you can see how a player relates to the rest of the league.
Right, which so is, I guess this kind of helps it because it kind of gives everyone the same workload, per se.
Yeah,
yeah.
It kind of averages it out based on like their performance. Their specific performance against the average of the league.
Yeah.
Right. So if we go back and we look at the whole league, or, you know, the top goalies last year, give me a second to pull this up. We want to look at goalie ranks. There we go. And the GSAA for the top goalie in the league, Pekka Rinne, was 38.96. So that means that Pekka Rinne saved almost 40 more goals than, an average goalie would in the league, which is phenomenal if you think about it. You could basically just add 40 goals to Nashville's goals against and come up with, like, if they had, per se, who's the most average goalie in the league? Merrick Langhammer or Andrew Hammond. That's probably a better a better name. Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, who had a 1.10 GSAA. If we go to the other end of the spectrum, some goalies you might want to avoid. Scott Darling,
yeah,
minus 20 last year. I did find out today that he does own a Rolls Royce, though. So,
you give him all that money in Carolina, and
I guess housing's cheap, so you can buy like a really nice car.
Yeah.
Instead. So that's a really good stat to look at when you're looking at potential draft candidates for your team. The better that they are in the GSAA, the better they are relative to the rest of the goalies in the league. Cool. And it's a little bit of an easier number to digest than something like, oh, Pekka Rinne had a 9.27 save percentage.
Right.
You know that's good, but you don't know how good that is compared to the rest of the league.
Right.
Right.
So kind of speaking of goalies and also talking about their relative importance to fantasy hockey. So right now, if you take a look at at the league, as well as at Yahoo's kind of like average draft ranking, because people have started drafting already, we kind of see a lot of goalies going in the first and second round, most notably Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, and Holtby. Do you think it's worthwhile investing such a high round draft pick into these guys?
I mean, it kind of depends on your league. Last year, I wish I had drafted a goalie a lot higher than I ended up doing. I ended up riding, I think it was Gibson, for most of the year.
Yeah.
And he got injured. He didn't play. There was weeks where I was like, I have to pick up four goalies to try and play all the games that I needed to play. So if you can get a stud that's going to play every single game, like a Pekka Rinne or a Vasilevsky or... Hellebuck, then, I mean, you might want to reach for it in the first round.
Right.
Right?
On the contrary, I was kind of taking a look at some stats, and let me read out three different goalies. So goalie A played 64 games, had 33 wins, a 2.4 goals against average, and a .921 save percentage with 5 shutouts. So pretty good. Goalie B had 60 games played, 31 wins, 2.43 goals against average, and a .926 save percentage, but with 4 shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
And goalie C played 60 games, had 29 wins, but posted a much lower 2.3 goals against average, a higher 9.29 save percentage, and posted 8 shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dylan, of those three goalies, which one did you say is the best?
Well, I mean, if I'm going by the stats that we tracked last year, yeah, shutouts are super valuable.
Yes.
If we're tracking shutouts, then I'm going to take the player that has the most shutouts.
That's true.
Right?
So,
and the trickle-down effect is going to affect those other stats as well.
You got it. Yeah. More shutouts are obviously going to have a higher save percentage, etc. So goalie A is Jonathan Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Goalie B is one of your goalies, John Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And goalie C, the number one goalie, was a combination of Curtis McElhaney, Ryan Miller, and Casey DeSmith.
You can't put three goalies together.
But
we just talked about how you can only play one goalie at a time.
Except in our ridiculous proposal of having, you know, situational goalies. Yeah.
A power play goalie.
Power play goalie. But like, taking a look at this, I mean, you can kind of get, I'd say, as long as you're kind of drafting a top 15 guy. So as long as you're making sure you draft someone like, you know, your Bishop, or I'm looking at like Mike Smith from Calgary.
Yeah.
Somebody in like,
he's going to have a great season next year. I can feel
it. I feel like Calgary's due for a bounce back. I mean, we talk about their bad puck luck from last season. I think it's worthwhile, especially with when you're looking at the first two rounds or three rounds, the availability of left and right wingers, as we've kind of looked at. It's really hard to get a really good left or right winger if you're not picking up, if you're not investing those early rounds.
Mm.
So as long as you're getting one of those guys, and we'll talk about bounce back candidates, maybe there's even some, maybe you don't even draft a goalie till round 10. You know, perhaps your first goalie you take is Jake Allen, and there's a reason why you might do that. But I think as long as you're making sure you're playing the waiver wire and you're looking at teams who lead back-to-back games, then you're making sure you're drafting those, or making sure those goalies are like right on your waiver wire. I think there's also a, depending on how you do it with maximum skaters and stuff like that, it might even be more worthwhile stashing some very high level backup goalies like UC Saros, Aaron Dell, and Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah.
And then some other things that you might want to take a look at. Keith Kincaid plays behind a very shaky Corey Schneider. Phil Grubauer, who plays in Colorado behind the perennially injured Semyon Varlamov. Mrazek behind the disappointing, I guess, Scott Darling. And maybe James Reimer, who plays behind our very favorite Strombo 1. Although Strombo 1's getting kind of up there in age.
I mean, he had a phenomenal season last year.
He did.
He really did. He posted a .929 save percentage and a .247 goals against average. The other thing that I noticed is when we go back to my favorite stat, the GSAA.
Yes.
Luongo posted a 26.44 over Reimer, who was just over like 9.
Mm-hmm.
So when the goaling gets tough, Roberto Luongo is still your all-star goalie there. For whatever reason, Florida gives up a lot of shots too. So
yeah,
both of those goalies are good for your save percentage numbers, yeah, because even if they let in 3 goals, they're going to be facing 40 shots. So yeah, it's not so bad.
Taking a look at also just schedule stuff, Carolina and Florida both have the most back-to-back games, so that will give a lot more value to James Ryan and Peter Mrazek. I think it'd be even worthwhile rostering one of those two. And then another thing to take a look at is Anaheim plays the most games on later game days, so they have the most spaced-out games as well.
Oh, no
so
way.
That really adds up to John Gibson's value as well.
Mm-hmm. They do have the most amount of travel, though.
Okay.
Anaheim travels a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is part of the reason that I think that Lundqvist has played for so long.
Right.
It's because he plays in New York.
Yeah.
Like the division is within like 5 hours to every team. So I don't know, less travel, less strain on his body.
Mm-hmm.
And these West Coast teams are always like, they chew up goalies and spit them out.
Speaking of Lundqvist, I was taking a look at some maybe bounce back candidates, and one guy I was looking at was Carey Price. And the reason why I mentioned Lundqvist before I said that is that Lundqvist also suffered a very similar fate in 2016 and 17, where he saw a pretty a decrease in his save percentage that was pretty much well below his career average. Mm-hmm. And he rebounded, while not completely to his previous stats, pretty nicely. And so he went from something that was well below his 910 career average and rebounded to a 915 this past season. So Carey Price, one, younger than Henrik Lundqvist, so has the ability to bounce back from these kind of injuries a lot better. But two, he's also like the number one guy and also a guy that's just a year removed from being a number one first round draft pick in fantasy hockey. So I personally like Carey Price's value at round 11. I mean, realistically, who are you even drafting around that time?
It's kind of nuts that he's dropped that far.
Yeah.
In one season, he goes from a first overall. Well, maybe not last year. Was he going first overall last year?
He was going in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's dropped now all the way to 11th round, is that what you said?
11th round, an average rank of 122. So that's you're drafting him around players like Bo Horvat, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Jordan Eberle, Pietrangelo, and Roberto Luongo, who's not even going to play as much games as Carey Price. So it really depends if you think Montreal is going to win more games as well, which, you know, like, okay, maybe get Shea Weber back for a little bit more of the season. You get Max Domi.
They got traded, remember?
Yeah, traded, right. You got Max Domi come back. You think that maybe they're going to score more goals. I don't know.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No, okay. I doubt it. The draft analysis on Yahoo, the fantasy website, is now out.
Okay.
Compared to our rankings that came out that we're talking about right now, Carey Price looks like he is going closer to the fourth, fifth round.
Okay.
45th overall.
Okay.
Yeah. So make that your range for Carey Price. Going from the fourth to the 11th round, you might be able to pick him up in there.
All right. Taking a look at Jake Allen. Dylan, where's Jake Allen going in Yahoo?
Jake Allen. We're looking at Jake Allen in the 7th round, 76th overall.
Ah, okay. Jake Allen obviously didn't have the season that he wanted.
Do you know what Jake Allen's nickname is?
Are we still on the Wikipedia page?
Let's find out. Keep talking.
All right. Last year, we had our big friend, frequent guest Steve, come on the podcast, and he talked about Jake Allen. And in the middle of the podcast, renamed the Wikipedia article list of hockey nicknames, and he named it to Jake Allen to Terrible. Also provided an annotation with the link to the episode. So
go back to whatever episode that is. Oh, it's been changed.
Oh, no.
Jake Allen's nickname is now Jake the Snake.
Hold on.
Stand by. Okay, keep talking because I don't know how to edit Wikipedia.
Anyways, so like last year, Allen's save percentage dipped to a 906.
The reference is still our podcast.
Oh, is it really? That's funny.
It's week 22.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
So Jake Allen ended the season with slightly below 500 save percent, slightly below 500 record at 27-25-3, and had the highest goals against average of 275. So does he recover? Well, his track record suggests that he's much better than what he showed last season, and more so that his downfall didn't come from necessarily his even strength play, but his penalty kill. So last year on the Pinnacle, he posted a save percentage of 834. And the Blues were shorthanded, was 30 points. In 834 was 30 points worse than his previous career low. So despite actually posting a better even strength percentage than the year prior, Allen's overall numbers suffered. So with the additions of like Ryan O'Reilly and Tyler Bozak, there should be a stronger penalty kill in front of him. And as a result, Jake Allen's save percentage should go up. So I think it'd be a good value pick in wherever he's going.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Who's next?
How about Scott Darling?
Scott Darling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scott Darling, usually when we talk about bounce back candidates, they go up like, what, like 5% or like 0.5%?
Mm-hmm.
Even if Scott Darling were to do that, he still would be not a very good fantasy hockey goalie. Scott Darling posted a .888 save percentage with a 3.18 goals against average after signing a really good contract, and by all means was a disappointment after showing some promise in Chicago. However, what did Carolina do? They didn't sign Cam Ward, and they signed Peter Mrazek, who while kind of good, was really inconsistent after he got traded to the Flyers last year.
That's true. He put up, I think I picked him up last year. He had like 3 straight wins and then 3 incredibly terrible losses.
Yeah.
It was like 6-0, 4-0. Yeah. Terrible.
So there's a couple changes that Carolina's done that could actually make Darling's save percentage and stats go way up. So some of the Darling struggles can be attributed to the quality of shots he faced. So the Hurricanes actually allowed the fewest shots in the league, but of the ones they allowed, 42.5% of the ones they allowed at 5.5 were the high danger variety. Mm. And that was good for fifth highest in the NHL. So in 2018-2019, they added Dougie Hamilton and Calvin DeHaan. So I think they have a better blue line than they did last year. And so while he may not flirt with his career save percentage is .923. So we are definitely going to see a bounce back in terms of just for what regression means.
Mm-hmm.
But also with a good defense playing in front of him, we should see some pretty good fantasy numbers. And Dylan, is Scott Darling getting drafted right now?
Scott Darling, I do not see in the top 50 on Yahoo. Doesn't look like it.
When we made our spreadsheet, it didn't look like he was getting his average rank was in the first 189 picks. So, you know,
that's a deep grab. Maybe a goalie you want to stream.
Yeah,
yeah.
Something they would take a look at.
Can we talk a little bit more about Antti Raanta?
Sure.
Antti Raanta, I picked him up last year at the beginning of the season. I drafted him, I think it was somewhere in like the 10th round or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was expecting like, hey, this is going to be the year that he takes a first overall first position, starting goaltending position, and the Coyotes are going to be a great team. And then he was injured for like most of the first half of the year and didn't come back until the Coyotes were pretty much out of it.
Yeah.
This year, I'm hoping that what happened at the end of last year continues to happen at the beginning of next year. We already talked about how he was a well above average goaltender with the GSAA stats. I just wanted to cite a couple of things, though. The Coyotes now have a tandem of Raanta and Kemper.
Okay.
Darcy Kemper. Yeah.
The closing goal, closing pitcher. Yeah.
who.
Episode one throwback. Yeah.
Throwback episode one. Who did not have a great season last year. He was bounced around a couple of teams. And when he ended up in Arizona, I think he had something. He played like 10 games, lost 6 of them. Wasn't good. He had a .900 save percentage. And I'm really looking for these players to come back next year and show us like who they actually are. Because in Minnesota, I'm not sure if you remember Kemper in Minnesota. He had like a string of a few games where he was
Incredible. I mean, I remember Dubnyk going down and Kemper came in and filled in
very admirably.
Well. I mean, like the Wild made the playoffs last year, so.
Yeah, and then in LA when Quick went down and he had that string of like 10 games or something like that where he won every single game.
Yeah,
I mean that's more of a reflection on the Kings' defensive abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that next year the Coyotes show us that their defense is better than as good as their names suggest. They don't have they're a pretty deep defensive team. Obviously, you've got guys like Goligoski and Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
They also added people like Galchenyuk, Grabner, Hinostra, Jordan Olestri, and then maybe even and saw people like Luke Shen and Max Domi-Leap, who aren't very good.
Luke Shen Luke Shen was not like he was a nothing guy on their defense.
Yeah,
not their defense.
Yes, we're the only fantasy hockey podcast talking about Luke Shen.
Correct. And Jamerson, who we've not mentioned yet, who I hope that they look better next year.
Yeah.
Even though they're in the Canucks division, and I've already made a bold prediction that Calgary is going to win the division. I think the Coyotes are going to be second.
But even then, like, I think after January, a lot of people were like rads in Arizona for messing up their tank.
Right.
And they were actually a very, very good team after January in the Western Conference. I don't know if they were necessarily a playoff team, but they were much better than what their final rank would have done.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, even last year, Raanta, despite only playing 47 games, finished second among all netminders who played at least 30 games with a save percentage of 9.3 and a goals against of 2.24.
Yeah.
So where is Ranta going in drafts right now?
So this is the interesting thing. Ranta's not going until like the 11th round.
That so seems ridiculous to
you
me.
You can definitely pick him up earlier than his name suggests.
Right. Would you say it's worthwhile drafting Kemper as well? Or do you think you just, if you have Ranta, you're quick to add drop?
I mean, I would be like, if Ranta gets injured, pick up Kemper.
Okay.
I'd hope that that's your strategy when one of your goalies gets injured, to pick up their backup. Mm-hmm. Especially if the team's playing well defensively and Ranta's not holding them, holding the fort up. Is that the saying?
That's the thing. Yeah. So do you think there's any, so we're kind of talking about, potential timeshares earlier. Do you think, Ranta has the starting slot like firmly in place, or do you think that there's going to be a potential?
Absolutely.
Pressure? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they wanted to give it to him at the beginning of last season, right? Yeah. So there's no question that Kemper's the backup.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. Kemper hasn't been able to pull down a starting position.
Yeah.
But I guess he just can't get over that hump.
Right. and then also kind of talking about potential streaming goalies, I kind of wanted to just highlight Condon on the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
So after a really shaky start, I mean, obviously with Anderson having one of his typical off years, he kind of ping pongs between having the really good season and really bad season.
Which one are we on next year?
I think it looks like we're due for a good season. Now, the main thing with Anderson, though,
the forecast shows us that Anderson,
well, the main thing with Anderson is that as soon as he plays below 50 games, his save percentage skyrockets like at least 15 points.
Crazy.
So,
if they play him less, he'll be better.
So presumably, and as we kind of talked about, and I've kind of guessed that Ottawa is going to try and win next year because they don't really have much of a choice. if they really buy into this idea that maybe we can do a tandem, perhaps they'll try to make Anderson look as good as possible. He is a guy that does get injured, a potential trade candidate, as he's kind of publicly said. So so even after that shaky start that Condon had, he had a 9.23 even strength save percentage from January 1st. So that puts him right in line with people like Jonathan Quick, who had a really good end of the season, and also ahead of guys like Frederik Andersen, Andrei Vasilevskiy, and Tuukka Rask.
That's very interesting, Fergie. I think that's all the time we have tonight.
Yeah. Hopefully we gave you a good primer on goalies. Kind of talking about the back end of your draft as well as value picks to have.
Yeah. If you guys want to dig into some of the numbers that we have in front of us, we do have a sheet that we're going to be sharing shortly. It should come out with this episode in the next couple of days. I'm saying that like you're going to be listening to this and then expecting another podcast coming out. That's not how this works. I'm talking to future people. We're going to release it in the next couple of days, and it should come with our Google Sheet. We've been working on it over the last couple of hours, okay. I guess, and it has there's a couple of cool features. We're going to be able to rank players based on their percentile ranking, so how good they are compared to the rest of the league, which is really helpful for category leagues that are drafting players and then accumulating points against your opponent in separate categories. So if you want to find the player who's got the most amount of PIMs, then we can definitely help you with that. The other sheet's going to show you point leagues. So you'd be able to type in your point values for your league. So if your goal's worth 6 points, assists worth 3 points, you can put that in and it will spit out the best players based on the categories that your league tracks. All these stats are going to be from last year. So we're just using the 2017-2018 season to fill all of our data. And for the goalies, I think we're just going to put all the stats that we can possibly find for goalies and not worry about making any specific formulas, just because as we've discussed today, it can be a little bit more of a shit show when you're trying to draft goalies. So we'll let you dig into that. I will be including a couple of advanced stats like GSAA and some other ones, saves per 60 minutes and that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to dig into that and find out who you should be drafting. Yeah.
All right. I don't know if we have any more draft content for you, but Dylan and I will definitely be joining you when it comes time for the regular season. And we have a lot of really fun stuff lined up for the season. Definitely going to be hopefully a little bit more organized than we were last year with a show structure and everything like that. So I look forward to perhaps we'll check in with you before the before your season starts. But if not, we'll see you opening night.
Opening night. Do. What is that? What's that theme song?
That's Kim Possible, right? Isn't
Kim
that
Possible?
What her...
No, it's Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
It's Power Rangers. Ding, 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 ding. Go, go, Power Rangers. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.